Maeve said that she'd heard you talking a little bit about letting go and how useless all the dharmas are from life to life and how you emphasize letting go. Would you say a little more about letting go?
Without understanding, even one says letting go is the idea of self. So it has to be panya, which really penetrates the truth of whatever arises now, that it's not permanent at all. And not just one reality, there must be all realities which appear to condition such moment of understanding that while living with seeing, hearing all the time from life to life, and nothing can last at all, even in a short time. It's shorter than that. That's why Buddha penetrated the truth so his wisdom can eradicate all kilesa. Without that, it's impossible to think of the eradication of reality and kilesa now. For example, like the person who said that I'd like to live a little more, furthermore, just to understand the teachings. Is there no yoga? So it depends on the level of understanding. Even the words are the same. Like what is written in the books of Tipitaka, without understanding, we just read, no meaning at all. Nama and Rupa, okay, Nama and Rupa. But what about Nama now and Rupa now? It cannot be taught by the words, the books, but the moment of experiencing it, like now. In order to understand really what Nama is, it's not just read, but at the moment of seeing, what is that which now experiences. Never think about it before, because one is so interested in what is seen, what is heard, but what about that which sees, that which hears?
But it's so quick.
Right.
So mm-hmm. If it's so quick, how yeah. can we... How does understand such a quick object?
Yoga? Yoga.
Okay.
Just listen and see how much it's beyond expectation, how rapidly things arise by conditions and falls away. What appears is only the nimitta, the sign of the succession of the arising and falling away. So one begins to understand the one's own accumulation of ignorance and attachment. And there's only one way to have it less, only at moment of understanding it. From hearing and when right awareness arises, it begins to develop because it cannot eradicate doubt suddenly about reality which appears, because they arise and fall away in succession so very rapidly. But one day when Panya can understand more about the characteristics of realities, then it develops more and more.
Ajahn, when we think in terms of quick and slow, well, this is just thinking about mm-hmm. the arising, the falling okay. away. In fact, it is outside of time, isn't it? It's not in yeah. the time that we think about.
Okay. And when there is awareness of such like seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and touching, Panya develops and it realizes that these are only different cittas from thinking. So a moment of seeing is not thinking at all. That's why Buddha used different words for the arising of the 10 cittas, which are vipaka, which sees, hears, and so forth, as upatti. occurring happens from karma as condition, and it has its own particular function, like seeing. See, we think of seeing right now, but it's not the actual moment of just a moment of seeing. A moment, think about it, only moment, one moment of seeing. After that, the citta which follows does not perform the function of seeing, only experiencing the same object because of vitakka, cetasika, arises. So it does not perform the function of mere or just seeing with seven cetasikas. And the rest of all the cittas, Buddha used the word nipatti to indicate the difference between moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, the actual moment, as reality is different from others. It will lead to understand more and deeper of all realities, that it cannot be realized or penetrated just immediately or with very small amount of understanding, because Panya has to go deeper to see the difference between all realities as they are. Like now, seeing is not thinking. What about the jitas in between seeing and thinking? Not only one. So we can think about only a moment of seeing, how fast it is. That's why the world is in darkness. Only the moment of seeing, just like a flash, only a flash. But now we hear the sound that we take for birds, right? Bird sound. There is many moments follow one another with attachment or aversion already before we think about that is the bird sound. Already there. Akusala, see? So only right understanding can eliminate all the kusala, like ignorance and attachment to the idea of self, stage by stage.
Seeing is a reality, and visual object is a reality, but it seems to me that I can only understand them together.
That's why we need to hear more about the difference between that which cannot experience and that which is now experiencing. From hearing until awareness arises by conditions and panya develops little by little, until there is no doubt about the different characteristics of the two.
But understanding them together as a concept of the realities together, I think, is still helpful.
In what way?
To lead us closer to so, the realities, always getting closer to
so
the
So there is I. But seeing is just a moment which is conditioned by not just one condition. And visible object is that which can appear to seeing only, see? This is a way to eliminate the idea of self from hearing and considering. Even it does not appear as arising and falling away like it is, but it is the beginning for Panya to see that what is life, what is moment, from birth to death, only realities, unexpected realities too. Who can expect that there can be a reality which now sees? How come? But it is now, by conditions. Just little word and little word and little word together, they can condition moment of understanding clearer and deeper, but it's only intellectual understanding when awareness does not arise yet. And when it arises, it's natural as seeing and hearing. so very natural.
Do awareness and understanding arise together, or is awareness
one
a
moment
for understanding?
One moment of citta, there are many chetasikas, at least seven. With our sati, panya cannot arise, but sati can arise with our panya.
Because when there's the idea of seeing an invisible object together, it's always the idea of I experiencing or understanding that conglomeration. So unless it's, and that's why you asked why we always pick up on the I can experience seeing or I can experience visible object, because you mentioned it's just words, but unless there is a clear understanding of those dharmas that experience and those dharmas that cannot experience anything, there's never going to be understanding of seeing, just the moment of experiencing.
But wouldn't there be a conceptual understanding of the reality of seeing and the reality of visual object working together, or how should I put it? Functioning together somehow, I feel. I can't quite explain it, but...
Do you mean the relationship between the two?
Yes. I read, for example, about... I don't know how to... It's a... Not karma, but karma of sensual realm, sensuous cittas, and there's kama kilesa and kama dhatu, I think, and it's the idea of the kilesa in the experiencing and the kilesa, the kama dhatu and the kama kilesa, and it's the object and the seeing and the... I just felt there was a kind of relationship between them. I can't quite put my finger on it, but...
That's why we should study one word at a time. Which word now?
Which word now? Seeing.
Okay. Seeing is a reality, or in Pali, it can be used the term Dhamma, right? Because no one there, and it can be explained as Dhatu, element, because nobody can change its characteristic. Like fire is hot, it is always hot or cold, depending on the temperature. So seeing arises just to see, no matter when. Uncontrollable. It's not under anyone's thought or command at all. And now it arises by conditions. And we know that at moment of seeing, there must be that which impinge on the eye base. So, seeing cannot arise without these two, right? And also, kamma is a condition for seeing to arise. Otherwise, there would not be parinibbana. When kilesa are all completely eradicated, no more condition for any reality to arise. So, this arises by many conditions. Just to see, that's all, and then falls away instantly. It has to be like this. This is Dhamma, this is Paramada Dhamma, and this is Abhidhamma. Would you like to see?
No choice.
And at moment of seeing, what's there after?
Thinking immediately.
Or... ignorance attachment. And attachment, see? All the way from eons and eons ago, so you keep on, all the way, eons and eons. But when there is the understanding, it's much better than having no understanding. How life is so suffering or pleasant, because of seeing. It brings many moments of joy or unhappiness. It's the source of the happenings of different events. It's important only when there's thinking about those events, but it doesn't mean anything because nothing. It's only thinking. Without thinking, nothing appears as people and things. If one would be called ignorant people, what do you think? You are ignorant person. Yes, I am. Yeah, it's so true. But that person should make more statement about how ignorant that person is. Not just you are ignorant person. Yeah. Why? Because of what and what? Not knowing or understanding whatever appears.
I had a chat with a friend this morning. Sometimes it's very easy to see the other's kalesa or ignorance, but what about the ignorance and the kalesa now? That's really what it comes back to, because it's the world now appearing that can be known only.
That's why right understanding doesn't bring any trouble at all.
Ajahn, you just said that seeing can bring many moments of joy or suffering. But the seeing itself is not what conditions that. It's thinking.
Yeah. Only a moment. It doesn't know anything about the shape and form. It just arises and see. Experience just the visible object.
So we cannot say that seeing is a condition for...
Because when the latent tendencies are not eradicated yet, even at seeing moment, there is the condition for lopa or tusa to arise later.
So the thinking that follows seeing is conditioned by other things, if there is an unpleasant or a pleasant.
Accumulation in each citta as latent tendencies. Mm-hmm. So what's like and dislike yesterday, they are all gone. But what about latent tendency for today's attachment, aversion?
Because people hear a lot about some conditions like karma. They're familiar with the idea, but actually the biggest condition is a condition called natural decisive support condition, and the attachment now, the ignorance, the aversion, all conditioned by this condition. That's how the tendencies and the accumulations carry on from moment to moment, and that's why suddenly one might be sitting quietly here and one hears a loud noise and one feels angry or something like that out of the blue because by this condition, all those tendencies have been accumulated at each moment. And even when they don't arise, like now, there's no anger, but there's still that latent tendency ready to condition that anger when there is the opportunity for it. Until those latent tendencies, the anusya, are completely eradicated.
So when things seem unexpected, they're only unexpected to the self, right. But not in reality.
In terms of conditions, it's nothing unexpected or nothing unfair or nothing unreasonable, because those conditions are all in place, ready to bring their result at that moment. So, yes, it's only unexpected because of
the self
and the attachment and what it thinks should happen. But when one understands more about conditions, it's always the unexpected reality arising. Like now, who knows whether there's going to be seeing next or hearing next or thinking about what object. Like we're talking about Dharma and they may suddenly be thinking about coffee or anything. Just because of those accumulated tendencies.
So, this is once upon a time. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Not in Benares, but here in Bangkok.
Once upon a time of the future. Once upon a time of the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like the dream.
Just a moment ago.
That's how I felt when I came in yesterday. When I sat in front of you, it felt like 3 years or 2 years had. All those 2 years were just gone, and here I was again, sitting, talking about Dhamma, and that it's all just a dream, and it's all the useless.
Yeah.
Dhammas, and the only useful Dhamma is understanding.
And who knows who's who in the past and who's who in the future, just next life, yeah, just once upon a lifetime. Once in a lifetime.
Yesterday, after lunch, in the afternoon discussion, Nina, you asked for a summary of what Ajahn had been talking about with myself and with Hung, I think. And I could only remember a very small amount until we began discussing again and you began speaking again. And then the conversation began to come back. So your words were a condition for Sanya to remember what had been discussed, but before that it was gone. So it was a good for me it was a good example of how discussing about realities is a really good condition for us to remember other times when there's been that discussion. And then we go away from the discussion and it happens less frequently.
That's why we are here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I suppose sometimes you have a little understanding of why, exactly why that's true.
And no matter here or there or in the future, seeing just sees and thinking things.
Going to add that I was sort of implying that because we're here, there are useful dhammas and there's understanding. But of course, that's not true. There's so many useless dhammas all the time and just a few moments of understanding.
And if one does not forget, all are dhammas. See, even just that word can condition moment of thinking about it.
And following on from Maeve's comment, I had a chat with one or two different Vietnamese friends, including Mai, when we were walking back from the restaurant, about how it's so helpful to hear the reminders about now, but we may hear about, for example, paticca, about conditions, and it doesn't seem so relevant to now. But what we were just talking about is an example of, like, we might read about natural decisive support condition in the book and it doesn't really seem relevant to daily life and it seems like a technical detail, but then, like Maeve mentioned about Sanya now suddenly remembering what has been heard before and why does it suddenly arise now, because of this condition and because of the accumulated tendency. And that is the way to understand more what is meant about the condition at this moment when that sanya arises. Is there anything else you'd like to ask about topics in the book not seeming relevant in paticca?
It's quite difficult for me to express my thinking because my English is poor, but I will try my best. I find Ajahn teaching is very precious for me. When Ajahn explain very detailed and precise about the very, very present moment, which helped me to find what is the wrong view and what is the right view. And when the idea of self and when there's lobha appear, I easily keep on, I easily to attach the many idea of, for myself. Example, Ajahn is my teacher, and the way I'm learning here is the is my way, and I take many things is mine. So immediately, I think the other thought and the other action is wrong, or they have problem if I think that it's not similar to mine.
Or to the truth?
Yeah, I want to explain that when the idea of myself appear, it very easily, and also easily to keep on talk, keep on telling things that I really don't understand. I just want to tell about my experience, what's happened on mine now. Yes.
Shall we talk about reality at this moment?
Yes.
Like seeing.
Yeah.
It should be object of understanding, or shouldn't be.
Okay. Right.
Hearing, smelling, tasting, all realities in daily life should be understood. So that there will be more right understanding of each one.
Yeah.
So that we can see that that cannot be me, like seeing seas arising and falling away. So it cannot be mine or me at all. This is right understanding. Yeah. So we keep on understanding reality to see whether that idea is right or wrong.
Yeah. That is the right view, and if that right view appear, I will remember your explanation.
And when we read the words in Tipitaka or the commentaries, it conforms with what you heard now about seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, just to tell more about it cannot belong to anyone at all. So we have more right understanding, to have less clinging to only thought or idea that it's I. Or
yes.
Me.
Yes.
That is the only way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, one have more and more attachment, ignorance, and the idea of self.
Yeah.
And Buddha taught us to understand all dhammas are anatta, which means non-self.
Yes.
And I think what you're saying is that there may be a moment of right understanding, but that seems to condition then a whole lot of other thoughts about right view, wrong view, me, the other people, and so forth, right? So maybe there's an expectation that there should be more moments of right view, or obviously that would be better. But perhaps it's because of, you know, right view isn't sufficiently developed, or we have strong accumulations for other kind of thinking. But that's just the way it is, isn't it? But there'll, later there can be another moment of right view, and then again more moments of thinking about of the extraneous thinking.
Yeah.
Sorry. So I wanted to ask Ajahn to, can you comment on that, Ajahn? Because there may be a moment of right view, and then it seems to condition a whole lot of thinking about other
when
things.
When there's enough understanding of reality as not self, you will see that it's so natural. It's the way Dhamma is. Thinking is so very common. It's conditioned to think in different ways, today or tomorrow, more understanding or less attachment, depending on the accumulation of each moment right now. But if there is still the idea of self, there can be one's own view about life, about how much kusala one has, and shouldn't we develop more kusala for this and this purpose? But actually, the most important thing is to understand that there is no self. Otherwise, it's there as yoga, yoke. Not only asava or oka, but also yoga too. It's like the spider's web. Very, very thin. Very, very tough. So, very difficult to cut off the attachment to this moment, whatever it is, to which word object. For example, we heard so many, many times, and we will hear again and again, visible object means no one in it. It's only the reality but that can impinge on the eye base, not other base, not the ear base, not the tongue base. So it does not know that it's now impinging on the eye base. But since it's a reality which has its own characteristic that it can impinge on the eye base, so there can be conditions for seeing to arise, and ignorance is there, taking it all the time. So I think that it's better to know that there are lots of great akusala accumulated to be known, to have more and more understanding, rather than thinking that I better do this or that in order that I will have more kusala or so on. No matter how much kusala, without right understanding, it's not the way out of samsara. So at the moment of akusala arising, one can understand that since there's ignorance in the past so much, that the kusala cannot arise just then. It's the way to understand reality that one takes for self better and better, that they're not me at all, no matter akusala or kusala, and there is no other way at all except understanding whatever appears, stage by stage, from listening, considering, to direct understanding. There are realities right now arising and falling away. What is heard is only hearing some instruction about reality in a dream. Not waking yet. Until a moment of awareness arises, it learns to understand a characteristic. At that moment, no one can control. Begins to appear to the developed panya as it is, as just a characteristic in circle of birth and death. Five sense doors and mind door only. Where are we? In the garden.
Thinking about the garden.
What's behind the scenes?
Yeah.
want to say just a few words, Mai, that we have accumulated so much ignorance for so many eons of life, and we can't expect to just have the understanding coming right away or something, you know. So it's a matter of listening more and discuss more or contemplate more of what you have heard or studied. I think more or less is the only way to develop more, you know. And one have to always remind oneself that there's so much accumulated of ignorance in the past.
So without the arising of so many things now, can there be garden?
What I wanted to also mention to Mai is that when we think a lot about other people's views or other people's behavior or other people's accumulations and my views and my way and my behavior, but I think when there's more understanding of dhammas, like seeing or visible object or wrong view, as we were discussing yesterday, less thought of the other's views and my views, because they're just dhammas appearing. And that's helpful, because then it's less about their way and my way, and it's just about dharmas, no matter what's appearing, what's arising.
It's so pleasant in the garden, right? As natural as it is, with understanding. Only that, it does mean that at that moment of understanding, there is no pleasant feeling. It's a reality. So it can be further on being pleasant with understanding.
But at the moment, understanding is seem like always pressure.
Yes, it's a reality. So it doesn't matter as long as Panya can understand that, instead of ignoring all realities with the idea of I, which is not right at all. Because what you take for trees and pleasant weather, fine, gone completely, each moment. Just remember that, so that you can see the anattaness and the anicjang, the impermanence of everything, only now, not the next moment, different ones. Even pleasant feeling is not the same moment. Keep on arising and falling away as much as there are conditions. Only that. So even its pleasant feeling, no clinging to it as permanent reality. Then you'll be safe from sufferings because of understanding. Ready to lose, to understand, because it's lost completely each moment.
Ready to lose?
Yes, because it's lost already. No regret, because of the understanding. It's the way it is. No matter how great pleasure is there, only to be understood as just a moment, a reality. And the next moment will come, we don't know what will be. Ready to any reality which appears, to understand.
Is that another way of saying to be detached from what arises?
With understanding. No expectation for detachment, but there is understanding.
That just sounds like a really nice description of detachment. Be ready to lose what is already lost.
Mm-hmm.
May I just say, I know I have many thoughts and questions similar to what you have expressed. And I find it helpful when a jhan does not seem to directly answer the question in a way, but what she does is, well, it seems to help help us to understand this is the way things are. That sometimes when those questions are asked, it's like, what to do? You know, is there a solution to this? But part of the solution is to see that this is the way they are now. And it is only with understanding that begins to change. No quick fix. But I think it's very common.
Yeah,
very common. Yes.
I saw that sometime when we talking about, like, we read about the teachings and no understanding, so it doesn't different with reading the other thing, because actually there's no understanding. That means it seemed that akusala, but I saw that, for example, Anne already mentioned we're hearing the Dhamma and its condition, maybe another moment that just the sanya remember what already heard, and it's like one of the conditions for understanding to arise. So I feel a little bit confused about that.
About sanya or about what?
I know what his question is. What he's asking is,
for example, like, someone may hear what is said with no understanding at all. Like, for example, if you gave the example of the driver, he may, if he spoke English, he may be listening to what is said, but it doesn't make any sense and there's no understanding at all. But Thay's point is, maybe because we're talking about accumulated sanya, so even if it doesn't make any sense and there isn't any understanding, maybe that sanya marking those sounds heard, it may be a condition for understanding in the future. So if we talk about how totally useless it is to read the text with no understanding or listen to the Dhamma with no understanding, we say one might as well be reading any other subject. But he's suggesting that because it is about dharmas, even it makes no sense and there's no knowing anything, perhaps it can be conditioned for understanding in future.
Are you going to say something?
I'm waiting for your answer.
I think that is expectation, to find conditions for this or that to arise. But actually, no matter when we just be like a child, we learn from each moment. The newly born baby cannot understand anything. The newly born baby sees but don't know about the shape and form. But there is sanya of that very moment with each citta, right? So it learns to remember shape and form or different sound to understand the meaning of that particular sound little by little. So now we don't understand or don't know anything about reality at all, right? But when we hear anything which is true, sanya remember that once when we heard about that, like seeing. Why should we talk about seeing? Because it arises in daily life. Why do we talk about attachment, aversion, and everything in life? Because we don't understand how they come at that particular moment. So no understanding and ignorance about that condition, the what? Sankhara, Jetana. See, so at this moment, no understanding about ignorance at all. But there is Sankhara already, right? And at that moment of having Jetana or Sankhara or moment of Kusala and Akusala, even there is no understanding. So who told us about the condition for such and such Sankhara? It cannot arise by itself, but there are conditions for any realities arising from time to time. So at this moment, there is Sankhara, intention, Kusala and Akusala. But still, there is ignorance about everything which appears. So we can see that because of ignorance is there, so the Kusala and Akusala is conditioned by many, many conditions, not only avicca. And the result of it is the vijnana for the next life, ayatana, nama rupa, and everything like this life. So it keeps on going with no understanding until when there is moment of hearing of the truth, right understanding begin to know what is what in life. So even right now, there is hearing. Before hearing about the truth of hearing, no understanding of hearing, how come hearing, ignorance and attachment to that object. But now, hearing is just a moment of a reality appearing because of there is a reality which can hear it. So the citta is the chief, the most important in one's life. Without it, nothing appears. And is it good to have the moment of experiencing whatever it is, just for a moment, only in a moment, that's all, from moment to moment, we begin to understand life, the conditions for each moment, and the truth of reality like seeing. Is there anyone in that visible object which is seen? Trees, people, none at all. This is the beginning of seeing the world as it is, life as it is. Otherwise, one's born and one dies without any understanding of reality or of life at all. Keep on having such and such happenings from life to life. So just to understand what the truth is, that's all. Or more than that? Or only that?
I think it's true that things heard or read now and not understood or misunderstood can be understood at a later time on reflection. But the important thing, I think, is in what we say about reading or listening and whether it's necessarily study or not, is that the idea that one should or shouldn't be reading or listening is wrong thinking. It's not that one activity is useful or useless, but the focus has to be on what is the present reality, because the present reality can be anything in a given activity. And so even if one is reading texts, there can be understanding or wrong view or neither.
And no matter you believe it or not, the truth is the truth.
To Thay's questions, I also remember about some suttas usually mentioned, like some animal listen in the Buddha's time, they listen to Buddha's teaching, and many lives later can become enlightenment. Now, I'm curious about the story because why they mention about such experience when the animal listened to Buddha's teaching, but not mention about the all the time accumulation panya. So there must be something special at that time.
It says somewhere in the text and in commentary about everything, but in a sutta, he cannot teach all in just one sutta. It implies the accumulation of what one understood. From moment to moment, it's there, never lost. But it depends on conditions for its arising too.
I think the sign, at that time, just an animal cannot develop panya.
Mm-hmm.
So
like the Bodhisattva's horse, Markandaka, added life. No panya which can understand whatever appears. But after his death, he was born in the Deva realms. He came to listen to the teachings and he became Sotapanna. Just after the life that he was a horse.
An animal can have accumulated panya. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, but I'm still curious because in the life of an animal, just by hearing Buddha's teaching, they cannot understand anything.
So we mark what heard, and then later there is condition for understand what have been heard.
Who? Yeah.
Tom can mark the characteristic of the sound.
For example, with us, sometimes we are distracted, and when we're listening. And we realize we're not really paying close attention to what, but we remember the words, and later there's an opportunity to reflect upon it, and then we get the meaning much later. So it could be somewhat similar that there's marking at the time, but no opportunity to actually reflect on meaning until later.
Last life, in what language you spoke?
Maybe Thai.
So can you speak Thai now?
Nit noi.
From birth?
No.
See, yeah.
I think that, like for the, maybe the animal, maybe born at that time as there was some akusala vipaka because unhappy rebirth, but some supporting kusala vipaka to be born at the time of the Buddha, no understanding, but the previous tendencies, the previous kusala can condition like rebirth in heavenly realm afterwards. So one has to read very carefully, otherwise people think that the animal could understand what the Buddha was saying and that this conditioned that kind of rebirth, but it doesn't actually say that at all. Because it's not just what about the life before and an animal, no understanding that, but there can be some kusala that can bring its result, but without any understanding at all. Like a dog or a horse can have moments of kusala, but no understanding.
Sorry, what did you just say? Dog and can have kusala?
Like a dog or a horse or a cat can have some moments of kusala, but no understanding. And previous deeds or that some kusala, like the dog may help his master when he's sick or something like this. It can bring a good result, but not because of understanding anything about what was said.
It's like a Jan's
example. So if we hear the Dharma now in a foreign language, it's meaningless. No understanding at all.
So, like in the story in the sutta, when the bats they heard the voice of the sutta, isn't it similar to what we listen to a foreign language now?
As the bats. Because it's only speculation. But one can say that dogs and cats sometimes remember the sound of the sign, the wave of the sound, and know what's what, like, bye, go, see, something like that. But not as much as it can understand other things, like the teachings.
Ajahn, maybe it's helpful if you say something about what it is that Sanya marks when there is hearing of Dhamma. What is marked?
Each moment.
What characteristics are marked?
Sound.
Or concept, any reality, any concept. Because Sanya arises at
every single moment, so whatever is the object of citta at that moment is marked every single moment.
I'm wondering what it is that enables panya to be accumulated in the sort of the circumstances that we're discussing to condition a future that sanya remembers what is heard has been heard in the past. Is it any different to what is happening now?
Not different at all, because sanya marks, it cannot perform any other function.
Okay.
So it's okay. Function of other jetasikas like vitakka and sati and so on. They all arise together.
But it doesn't discriminate. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And sanya marks them all?
Sanya marks, whenever it arises, it marks. It cannot be panya which understands. Perform its function as vitakka. Each one has its own function. We cannot ask whether they are tired of the functions or not. Just marks and marks and marks.
I'm not sure I understood that clearly.
So when sanya arises,
just to mark
mm-hmm. every
whatever appears, whatever it arises appears. With citta, each citta.
Yes.
So, no matter citta experience what, it marks that object.
It marks the object of the citta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it doesn't mark
by itself alone.
No, but it doesn't, like vitakka and sanya can arise at the same time.
Yes.
So it marks,
but you see
as
that
well?
Sanya arises with each moment.
Yes.
But vitakka does not arise with
right.
each.
Sanya always marks
the object. So
the object.
When you say
okay.
it arises with vitakka, so it marks vitakka. It doesn't mark. It's not marking the chetasikas it arises
okay.
with. It's marking
the object of the citta.
Yeah. So only okay. if the object were vitakka, would it be marking?
Okay.
Vitakka.
Thank you. Thank you. That's good clarification. And with the Tom, with your point about the bat,
so were you suggesting that for the bat there was some understanding of what the Buddha said or something like that, or what was the suggestion?
Yeah, because we just mentioned about, like, if we listen to the Dhamma in a foreign language, then there'd be no understanding at all. We can understand that in the stories of the 500 bats who heard the Dhamma in the cave, and then later it became conditioned for them to become enlightened. So what I wonder is whether that listening to the teaching in that lifetime was a condition, or actually that accumulated for over longer periods,
that condition later, not that lifetime when they listen to the sound of the sutta.
Like the word Dhamma, just one word. If you understand better and better and better, no matter in what life, the word Dhamma is there. And the accumulation can condition moment of having kusala or piti, because the understanding of that word Dhamma, see, not all the words, but some, which is so used. Like Ananda Bindika, as soon as he heard about Buddha, just the word Buddha, the piti is so great for him. But for anyone, is what about the piti? See, even the word Buddha. And for the bat, see, we don't know the accumulation, how great it is, because all the bats were born as Sariputta's students and attain enlightenment. Just say to anyone you know, Buddha, and see the reaction. Piti or no piti at all?
We know those.
The accumulated tendencies have been accumulated for aeons and aeons and lifetimes, so people think, oh, they're just born as a bat in the Buddha's time, and then this is, it's not like that at all. So during aeons and aeons, so understanding has been accumulated, and sanya has marked all the objects of what has been heard under various Buddhas.
You mean before their lifetimes of bat?
Yes, long before.
And after.
Like King Pukkusati, see, hearing the word Buddha, exactly the same like another Bindaka.
Piti.
So we can translate that into right understanding. What about hearing? Right understanding. Does it strike you? Oh, it doesn't matter. Depending on conditions.
I would like to know that the sanya might have a thinking also?
Each moment. It arises with each citta.
So the thinking is the object of sanya?
Certainly, because it arises with citta, which thinks, so it cannot have other different aramana or object. When you hear new name or new word, could you remember? Depending on sanya, it marks, but vitaka does not arise. To have that word as object, but sanya remembers. And after that, quite a moment, then you remember. See?
And we tend to think of the situation
like the bats listening to the Buddha, or the person hearing the teachings with no understanding, or something like this, but actually different moments, so moments of ignorance and attachment and wrong view, useless no matter one's in the Dhamma discussion or wherever the occasion, but moments of kusala are always kusala, so we can generalize and say, oh, if there's no understanding and one's in that situation, it's useless. But maybe there are some moments of wise considering that will be conditioned for understanding in the future. And Phil was talking yesterday evening about the example given of if it's wrong view and wrong practice, you better say that. And Ajahn's reply of never, never, never.
Well, it's... I've always thought that if people come to the Buddha's teaching by different routes...
You mean real to the Buddhist
true,
teachings?
To the true Dhamma, okay. Which is what we're hearing now. My feeling is that people can get into the door, and if there are conditions for them to understand, because wrong practice and wrong view is an reality that can be understood, and if there are conditions for it to be understood, it will be understood. And that's basically how I feel. So I'm happy to give a friend who's interested in Dhamma, I might give him a book by, for example, a popular Vietnamese master named Thich Nhat Hanh, who is Mahayana, and he doesn't teach what I would consider to be the true Dhamma, but I would maybe give a friend who is a newcomer to the Dhamma, I might give him or her that book, and that if there were conditions for understanding to deepen, any wrong practice in his book would be understood. So that's the way I see things. But
without expectation.
Yeah, without expectation. Yeah.
It's hard to love, I guess. Mm-hmm. Without expectation.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
There must be some expectation because there's a choice being made. So, obviously...
Yeah, sure, there's expectations. Yeah. Or if I had one of Nina's books, like Buddhism in Daily Life, I think is one that I might give somebody. I don't think I would give a friend Abhidhamma in Daily Life to begin with. As much as it's a treasure in my life, and it's the greatest treasure in my life, I think. But... Again, it's an expectation, or it's selecting, and it's judging, and it's thinking.
And people have different accumulation. It might be more inspiration rather than other books.
Yeah, it's my telling a story about people and selecting. That's true.
I think you're...
And it's my own... Perhaps it's also because it's my own route. My first experience with the Dhamma was in a hotel room. I found a Mahayana free book that was left in the hotel room, and that was my first exposure, and it's led me gradually to what I would call the true Dhamma.
The point I think that you were making was that whether wrong view and wrong practice can ever lead to the right path, and that... You thought it was better for people to kind of follow a practice you know to be wrong, a meditation practice, because that may be their introduction and lead to the right path. And what I was saying is the wrong view and the wrong path never leads to what is right, but there may be conditions, for example, if you're reading the book which has a lot of wrong views, but there may be some aspects which are right, and it's the right view and right considering in spite of the wrong practice that is what leads to what is helpful. Like many people here have spent time in meditation temples or whatever, and you might say, if they hadn't had that experience in the meditation temple, they wouldn't be here. But it wasn't the wrong practice and the trying to get results that brought them to hear what is useful. It was the moments of right considering about dharmas as anatta, in spite of that, of being told to follow wrong practice, that led to the wise considering now.
The wrong views, I think of Robert Kirkpatrick and perhaps others would describe the wrong view of following the wrong practice and people falling into hell realms on rebirth. And I don't understand the wrong view of wrong practice being as, well, it is dangerous, I know, but compared to, for example, believing that there's no result of deeds and killing without remorse and things like that, I understand to be the worst kind of wrong view, but I, obviously all wrong view is very dangerous. But when I think of people who follow a wrong practice and lead a very contented and peaceful and comfortable life full of attachment to their practice, maybe it's not the worst kind of wrong view.
With attachment.
With attachment.
I think it was actually Robert Kirkpatrick who told me one time, long time ago, that supposing you're shooting an arrow and you're aiming for the target, but if you're slightly off when the arrow leaves the bow, you're way off down the track. You never get back. And I've always thought of that, you know. So that's if you're giving books to people, don't give them books on wrong view. Give them, because it just might lead them so far away.
Thich Nhat Hanh is nice because it's not a regiment of practice like a Mahasi book or something like that. It's just an introduction to the Buddha's teaching without... But that's a very good... If you shoot the arrow and it's off track from the beginning, it never
and
gets
the further back. You go down the eons, the more off track you become.
Yeah, that's true. I think you said you have friends in Vietnam you've had this discussion with a lot. Would you like to add anything? How do you feel about...
We had a very long discussion when at the foundation, you know, before you came, and because most of us come from the meditation background, actually. And we have a lot of Dhamma friends with whom we have very close relationship and very endearing to each other, you know, like even closer than our own family. So when we started to be interested in Atachan's teaching, and the first time when we invited her to Vietnam, we also invited them to listen to her. And then the other times the same, but in other places. So our hope is to get them introduced to Achan's teaching. But then we also realize that it's not an easy thing. And it's difficult now for me personally to tell anyone to go the same road that I went. Because I started out with meditation practice, but like Achan, like Sarah just said, I don't think that is it what brought me to Achan's way of explaining the Dhamma. So if I had the opportunity, I would try the best that I can to share the understanding that I got from here. But if it doesn't present itself, I would not show them other books that today I don't consider to be the right one anymore.
Probably Buddhism and daily life. How do you feel, Nina, when you give one of your books to a newcomer to the Dhamma, which one would you choose?
I have not many thoughts because I have not much contact with newcomers or with other people. I have not much
contact with other people or newcomers in Holland at all. But some people asked me just recently, he liked the letters from Holland, whether I had any copy. I have no spare copy, and I know it is tied together, but it's sold out or no more here. I couldn't get it. Because the letters from Holland is maybe an introduction for beginners.
Yeah, a bit long.
What about not being aware?
That's easy.
And natural. It depends on there is worry about that, concern, or just want to have it, or understanding that it's gone.
It's gone. Mind,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well.
And we could also say better than wrong awareness.
But there's still some regret, you know.
The eye is there.
How silly. No awareness. We listen a lot and then no awareness at all.
So one can see the clinging to the idea of self always there.
Yeah.
And only Panya can become detached, uncontrollable, because regret is a reality.
I remember last time you reminded us very often, as soon as we ask, how can, it is already clinging to the self.
Yeah.
That it's the moment to find out something. Yeah,
moment of realizing how much ignorance is there and clinging is there. Yeah. Smiling, laughing, realities, yeah.
But it's good when we regret having no awareness at all, that's all gone, that is past mm-hmm. already.
Yeah.
So bring us back to the present moment and not to forget that.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just forget that. Awareness arises and understand that reality as not me, not self.
That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
We forget
it
that.
Goes
to closer
step
and closer, more closely ever.
Yeah. Little by little.
All the time, yeah.
But it's possible to have such understanding of that which appears and disappears. That's the meaning of the Vipassana Jnana, which can discern the true nature of the past, the future, and the present. If there is no understanding of the present reality, no understanding of the past and future. Only thinking about the past and future, but not the moment of experiencing the past and future, after and before.
Let me just clarify that. I think what you were saying is that because when it is clear understanding of present, then it's understanding how it must have been in the past and what it must be like in the future, but it's not understanding of past or...
Because that which appears as present object falls away. So it understands the meaning of past and the future, which will come later and has come after the passing away of the previous one.
Usually when there's stories about
all that lack of awareness and what's happened, and it's just usually no understanding of thinking at this moment. It's mm-hmm. just thinking like that.
And when we would talk about the teachings of Buddha, it's only about the truth of reality right now. Otherwise, not the teachings of the Buddha at all. Put your hand up. That's not the teaching. But it's taught in many meditation centers. Yeah.
And could you explain about the Panya at very low level, because sometimes during the discussion like this, I find it very difficult to understand, but after that usually there are something even very vague. But I feel that there's some understanding, but it's not very clear. But I know there's something understood.
Yeah, and the truth is that, and that is the teachings. Never last.
But I wonder if that time it's just like Panya's very, 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 very low level.
It depends on understanding. It does not depend on names.
And I wonder
at how moment of doubt, it's not Panya.
Yes.
Only at moment of understanding. No matter literally or intellectually, it's Panya.
But
of that level.
There is not a notice at that time, at the moment.
Panya knows. It's not you who is trying to know.
What understood?
Oh,
mean there's like a very low understand, but I wonder what is understood, even that it's a very low level.
To know that this moment is a reality.
something like, oh, this is just thinking, oh, this is just reality, something like that.
It's just thinking,
but maybe thinking with or without understanding.
So you know yourself, what level of right understanding? Thinking without understanding. If one realizes that, it's true.
Is thinking about realities right thinking?
Correctly?
With correct and intellectual
it
understanding?
It depends on whether it's correct, right, or wrong.
Like a carrot. But again, as I think I just heard Nina saying, getting closer, getting closer, getting closer to the reality. So thinking with more and more correct understanding about realities is at least getting closer, I think. But it has to be now.
So, not too much emphasis on the present moment anymore, Phil?
Not when I'm here listening to Ajahn. Everything gets clearer when I'm listening. I don't know why that is, but...
Ajahn, I remember when first listening to you many years ago, and... perhaps we would talk a little more about sati back then. And my thinking was that sati was quite easy to have.
What level?
Well, I didn't care about what level. I was just thinking it was easy to have. And, you know, thinking...
Assuming,
exactly, yeah. Assuming. And, of course, over the years, that view has, I suppose, been straightened, straightened a little. So it is, you said that it's possible to know when there is right understanding, but often we are mistaken. We think there is understanding and it is just thinking.
Because that cannot be really known by only reading, but it's from experiencing. Before hearing the teachings, there can be kusala deeds, wholesome deeds, like giving things, which one knows that is different from movement of akusala. Even so, there can be some understanding that they are different, and which one is better, wholesomeness or unwholesomeness. And we might not know that at that moment how many wholesome jetasikas arise together, just in that very split second moment. But it's different. To learn the difference between different characteristics of realities in a day. So it begin to see that life is just the arising of different realities from time to time, that's all. For example, when one heard about the Dhamma, what is that? It's that which does not belong to anyone and is not considered or taken for anyone in reality. So we begin to understand the reality of Dhamma, not only the word. For example, whatever is real, seeing is real. So no need to say that so seeing is Dhamma, hearing is real. No need to say that so hearing is Dhamma. But whatever is real, we begin to know that we are talking about realities in order to understand the nature of each reality as it is, arising and falling away, never come back. We begin to understand what is in the book, but by one's own experience. Otherwise, it's only words about nama and rupa, but not the moment of experiencing, seeing, hearing, thinking. Without citta, nothing can appear at all.
A bit more about the aspect of, I think in visual object there's a nimitta, which is a general appearance, and then the details. Could you explain a bit more about that, please?
Right now, to experience different things is more helpful than just words. What is seen now? Whisper object and nimitta.
Visual object and nimitta.
Nimitta of visual object.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a tree, and I see the clearly, I think about the tree and the clearly defined details of the tree. Is that visual object or is that just thinking?
With a visible object, how can you know the details of even one tree? That's the way to understand visible object as not anything at all.
And lopa takes one part of the visual object. I remember hearing something about
so
that.
So many, many, many billion cittas arising and falling away, before there can be the idea of different ones like people and things. Is that true?
Before there can be thinking of people and things, there have to be
that which appear at moment of seeing, and it's only that which can appear to seeing.
For me, there's never any sense of visual object except what is thought about after seeing.
That's why Buddha pointed out a lot, many, many times in the sutta about seeing and that which is seen as different realities.
Do we have to understand details about visual object in order to understand?
What for? What for? To really understand visible object as visible object.
Visible object is not that which is defined as such, but it's what appears now.
And when there's understanding of visible object, that just that which appears, there's no thought or idea about signs and details or markings or trees, because it's just that which appears at that moment. And we know that because what is seen arises and falls away so quickly, must be the sign of visible object, and there's thinking about the sign and thinking about the details and the shapes, because each visible object that's seen is different. If every visible object were the same, there couldn't be any ideas of trees or people. So the sanya we were talking about before, at each moment it arises, marks that visible object, each visible object, so that it leads to the thinking about the different shapes and forms and ideas and kinds of trees and people. But actually at the moment of seeing, just that which is seen, just that which is visible is seen. No thought or idea of any markings at all, but it's seen just as it is. And the seeing which sees that visible object is just the moment of experiencing now, just arises and sees that which is seen. No person or me involved, no their experience or my experience, it's just a moment of
seeing, just the Dharma rises and falls away.
But if somebody asks us, what do you see now, or who do you see now, the honest answer is, I see Ajahn.
Yes.
To say just visible object would be not truthful.
Well, the honest answer is that it is no one who can see anything at all. It's only the ignorance and wrong view that thinks that I can see anything. But actually, what do you see now? You don't see anything at all.
Or that which can be seen only.
So in the Bahiya Sutta, when the Buddha said in the scene, only the scene is the meaning, like only visible object is seen. Is that right?
Otherwise, who can tell us about visible object? Because everyone sees many things. No understanding about that which is seen at all.
And if we don't hear about it, like if Bahia didn't hear about it, even though he had attained highest jhanas, even though he thought he was enlightened, if one doesn't actually hear that it is just the seeing that is seen, just that which is visible which is seen, and that it's only seeing which experiences it, impossible for there to be any understanding that it is the wrong view and ignorance that takes it for being my experience or my seeing.
Ajahn, the other day you mentioned about the world that Panya knows is a different world.
Mm-hmm.
But that is just at the moment of Panya.
Mm-hmm.
And then the world is conventional again.
Because we have to use the word to express what is the world. Because you see that it seems like now is the world of light, no dark world at all. But in reality, see how fast seeing arises and falls away, so it appears like always light. But actually, dark more than light. When sound appear, dark or light? Sound appears, it's still light because of not the true world.
It seems we experience them together.
Never together.
No, in reality not. In reality we can't experience them together, but it seems to mm-hmm. us when we
That's why sound. Different from usual world.
Like a test.
Dark, in darkness.
Tai, did you want to ask any more about your question about jhanas and calmness and the Eightfold Path?
I remember a sutta that I don't remember the name, but when one person comes to asking Buddha if the Dharma can be explained as a like a gradual steps, and Buddha said that yes, and then Buddha explained about different level of wholesome and unwholesome, until the end is about attain the jhanas. And Buddha said it's like if someone else asking you the way to places, and you said that, to that village, and then you turn right, and to the other you turn left, and then you can get to that place. And the point I don't understand is why the Buddha didn't explain about like Satipatthana, about Eight Noble Path, but Buddha just explained about like whole thing about wholesome and unwholesome, and until the jhana, and this is the Buddha said is understood is like the gradual steps of the Dhamma.
And further on. Not stop at that point.
No.
Yes, in Atha Sutta. The point is not just for samatha or tranquility. Otherwise, no need to develop high degree of parami in order to understand the truth. Because people can attain that degree of jhana or samatha without the teachings of the Buddha. Before his enlightenment. No need to listen to the others, just understanding how to be calm, but not understanding whatever appears now as yourself. And what is better? To be calm temporarily, arising and following, not understanding what it is at all. Just a reality which cannot end up samsara. So, even from the very beginning, what is calm? Those who attain calmness know about that. It does mean that one can become without any understanding of calmness at all. Everything begins with understanding. Otherwise, we use the word calm like we use the word world or any word without any understanding at all.
Hard to understand it because there's no understanding of that reality that appears.
If you don't understand, or anyone who doesn't understand, why would like to have that state of mind? When you ask, where are you going? I don't know where to go, but I keep on going. Yeah.
I just like to go.
But just heard that it's good, and maybe some feeling is like calm, and there's attachment to that.
Mm-hmm. So right understanding sees that it's not calm at all. It's only pleasant feeling.
So what is the difference between understanding in samatha and understanding in satipatthana, vipassana?
Does the seeing and the object which is seen trouble you, or not at all?
Sometimes, yes.
Always. Like or dislike?
Like or dislike.
See, both are troublesome. You just have no like and no dislike. But then you have like and dislike. What's the use? Is like good? Attachment good?
Yes.
See? Or dislike, is it good?
See? Usually we like. Mm-hmm. It's better than dislike.
So people have different accumulations. Some like the absorption in experiences, sensuous object all day long. It's their pleasure. But for some, who says that, why should there be such thrilling moment instead of being calm without that? It's better. See? For those who see the danger of hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, very temporarily, and without them at all, what is better? Only those only those who understand that will develop calmness with understanding. How can citta be calm? What object is suitable to condition calmness? if you watch TV, is that the object of calmness? If you listen to the music, is that object for calmness? If you have very delicious, or even it's not delicious, the taste at that moment, is it calm? It has to be that level of understanding, otherwise it will not lead to more and more understanding of what is suitable and what is not suitable in daily life. To have more attachment, aversion, or to have less attachment and aversion. So the person who is going to develop calmness must be very, very wise enough to see the danger of every day, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And they can understand what object will bring about the calmness in a day. That's why not every object can be object of calmness. But it needs understanding, even the suitable object. For example, corpse. Is it object of calmness? Or object of fear? Dead body. Dead body. Object of fear. Object of fear. Or object of calm. Or?
Fear.
So, only right understanding can have such object to be conditioned for calmness. And right understanding sees the Nivarana Dhammas, the attachment to sensuous object or the Piyapata and so on, which are the opposite of calm. It hinders the progress of Kusala Citta. So that person who develop calmness must be so wise, or they have the understanding of what kusala is. The person who develop calmness, if that person doesn't know or understand akusala as akusala and kusala as kusala, that person can never develop calmness. Even right now, citta is kusala or akusala? See, who knows? Even not the understanding at level of seeing that it's not self, just a reality. Only citta at that moment, that person can know whether it's kusala or akusala. Otherwise, the akusala citta still is conditioned to arise. Like now, see? Akusala citta can arise or not. See? So the person who develops calmness can see the actual moment of akusala as akusala. It's not calm when it is akusala. It does mean the pleasant feeling is calm, but that person must realize that pleasant feeling can be kusala or akusala. So it's different. Before the calmness develop, there can be moment of akusala, pleasant feeling. So that person knows the difference between kusala, pleasant feeling, and akusala, pleasant feeling. It needs very high panya, because it can realize this very moment of kusala or akusala. Well, who knows now? So even the development of calmness needs the sati sampajanya, not ordinary sati of dana or sila. Otherwise, there will not be bhavana. There would be only dana and sila. But there is also bhavana. But that way cannot lead to the eradication of ignorance of and the clinging to the idea of self. Because it does not understand the nature of reality as not self. Who's going to develop jhana without understanding? It's impossible. Just take the akusala moment for jhana by ignorance. So who has reached the attained concentration or apana samadhi or jhana? Who?
The one with a lot of understanding of kusala and akusala and calm and how the object conditions calm to that degree.
But today is without understanding. Without. People say that this person has reached jhana or arahata.
That's why one can ask them what is calm now. If they cannot even say what calm is now, then no samatha development at all.
And the object of comes
to them. And if they think, well, they say the object is, say, the corpse, and they just go and they concentrate on the corpse, but still no understanding of what calmness is or what is kusala and what is akusala. They just think concentrating on the corpse is development of samatha. It's not like that at all. Or they just think if they concentrate on breath, they're developing samatha that will lead to jhana. But if there's no understanding at all what is calm or what is kusala, what is akusala, then, or how breath can what breath is, or how breath can condition calmness, then just concentrating on breath is just concentrating with attachment.
So calmness or kusala citta does not depend on the object. It depends on panya, right understanding of that level, which knows moment of kusala and moments of akusala. So that it can eliminate nivarana or akusala by having more right understanding of calmness from the very beginning. Because all kusala moments are calm.
I can imagine that someone who has really honestly developed jhana, that this panya knows gusala from agusala, we would hardly see them wandering around. They wouldn't be the sort of people going to meditation centres. And in fact, maybe there aren't anyone like that in the world these days. We don't know.
So how can one know?
Well, how can one know? But I just think when I hear that degree of panya and that knowing that what's kusala and what is akusala,
only the person.
I feel like it's not someone who'd be wandering around in the city window shopping.
Only the person who understands what samatha is can tell.
Right. Right. Would be able to tell in another person.
By conversation, right, discussion,
yeah.
Only.
Yeah.
Not by slow walking.
And what is different between sati and sati sampajana?
At moment of giving away things, it's because of sati, which is aware of giving, which condition the deeds of giving. But it's not sati sampajanya, which really know what is there, like kusala or akusala.
Sampajanya means understanding, panya. So sati sampajanya means sati and panya sampajanya. And we can talk about sampajanya in the development of samatha or sampajanya in the development of vipassana, but it's panya cetasika, but different object, different degree.
So the citta without panya, can it develop samatha? No.
So, but then the sati sampajana in development of jhana or samatha, and the panya in the development of vipassana is also different.
Different levels, because the there are two words, lakkhanupanicchana, aramanupanicchana. Lakkhanupanicchana is the moment of understanding the characteristic of reality as not self, like hardness and so forth. And aramanupanicchana is the object, the understanding of the object that can lead to become.
This is why we were saying at Thai when we were talking, or why I mentioned the two kinds of jhana, mundane jhana, which is the aramanupanijhana, which has the object like breath, which can condition calm to that degree, or the supramundane jhana with the Eightfold Path. So at the moment of enlightenment, the right concentration is the lakkhanupanijhana. It is the right concentration that is at same degree as mundane jhana, but at that moment the object is nibbana, because it's the moment of enlightenment. So sometimes one may read in the text about jhana, and one has to know whether it's referring to the mundane jhana in the development of samatha, or the Lokutra jhana, the supramundane jhana, that is part of the Eightfold Path.
Yes. And in the suttas, we read about that the Buddha said, meditate, monks, here are the roots of the trees. And for the translation, meditate is very misleading, because the commentary explains exactly what Ajahn just said, that there is lakkhanupanijhana and aramanupanijhana. So the two kinds, to have the characteristics of realities as object, or the object of samatha. So people may forget when they read just about meditate in the translation.
And the word, the Pali term that's translated as meditate there, what is the literal meaning of it, Nina? Do you know?
It was explained in the commentary, these two kinds. So not only just only samatha, but also vipassana.
Yeah, but does the Pali term mean develop jhana, or does it mean something else?
Jayati.
What does that mean? It's
the same root as jhana.
Jhana.
Yeah.
So it means it's jayati, like develop
jhana, but the commentary explains that it's referring to the development of samatha and vipassana.
Yeah.
In Pali, it is bhavana, which means the development of calmness or right understanding. But they use just the word bhavana, which is the development of understanding. And what does it mean by bhavana? Develop that which hasn't arisen at all until it grows and grows.
Right. As a verb, it has to be develop something. It can't just be develop, can it?
Develop. Right, and develop right understanding, or right understanding develops.
Sorry, what did you say was the object of mundane jhana?
The object of
mundane jhana is one of the objects that can be, is experienced by those cheetahs, such as there are 40 objects given as objects of samatha, but not all of them can be object of samatha to the degree of jhana, some only to the degree of access concentration. For example, Dhamma can only be the object to the degree of access concentration, because there has to be thinking and considering about the qualities of Buddha. But some objects can be the object of samatha to the degree of jhana, such as breath, for example.
And also mundane means lokiya, worldling, and the other is lokutra, which are nibbana and the sotapanna, sakatagami, anagami, makapala.
Mundane and supramundane, lokiya and lokutra.
And at enlightenment, the object is nirvana, and then there is a very high degree of calm, which is compared to the calm of jhana citta. But it is not jhana citta because the object is nirvana, but the strength of calm is very high. It's about the same.
Equivalent. Yeah. The same.
Different only about the object.
And different as to object, and different as to level of
panya.
Level of panya also, and level of concentration. But the intensity is said to be similar to that of jhana.
So I have a question about the moment of jhana citta. So at that moment, the object of the jhana citta is the nibbita of one of those 40 objects, right?
The object of the jhana citta is a concept. So if the object is, say, the foulness of the body, it's just a concept, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There's no actual object there mm-hmm. to have an emitter.
Okay. So in the case of the cross, it would be the concept of foulness of the body. Or what?
The object is not necessarily a corpse as such,
mm-hmm.
because it's contemplation on, say, the foulness of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take death
mm-hmm.
as an object, right? There can be contemplation on death without there being a dead body being seen at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with that.
So it's the concept of death that is the object.
Mm-hmm. Because, I didn't read very carefully, or I don't remember everything, but in the description in the Visuddhimagga about the development of samatha, is it mentioned about the, you know, like the nimitta, the light and everything? So I don't get really well that
in the case of, say, a kasina,
mm-hmm.
the kasina is contemplated,
mm-hmm.
but there comes a stage when the nimitta of the kasina appears.
Okay.
But as far as I know, Ajahn will be able to tell you in more detail, but this is specifically in relation to kasina
mm-hmm.
and doesn't necessarily apply to all objects of contemplation, because kasina is something just seen through the eye door.
And what is kasina?
Encompassing all.
Talk about just one kasina.
Oh, because you explained already about the earth kasina. So
what does it mean?
It is the earth element.
What does it mean?
It means it's everywhere. Everywhere is earth. It's present in everything that is around, that surrounds us.
Can it condition calmness?
With the understanding that there's nothing to be clung to.
That is only hardness. No matter it's this academia, or table, or anything, mountain, country, waterfall, everything, only hardness, or Mahabuddha Rupa. Should that be object of clinging to only that which is hard?
So visible object
object for taste?
It depends, yeah, on what object
is. And so it's no clinging because it's just earth?
Or when it's the color or casino of color, it's only that color. No one in it. One just clings to that which can appear as different colors. The eyes, the nose, so on, only different colors.
So there is understanding that
level.
So we can see it's not the concentration on the kasina that is the samatha, it's the way in which it's contemplated.
But it's like a condition for understanding that the object of five sense door is not worth to cling.
And only nimitta appear for that moment to become, like the casino of the earth from the disc until everything is only that. So it can expand or it can be any hardness depending on panya at that level is samatha or vipassana.
So going back to what you said, Sarah, about the Buddha is one of the objects that conditions access to the higher level of jhana. Is it nimitta of the Buddha at that? Can we talk about nimitta of the Buddha?
Well, impossible.
So what are we talking
it's
about
the
then?
The qualities of the Buddha, and the reason why it cannot be the object of jhana at that degree is because it involves thinking, reflection on those qualities. Mm-hmm. And also, for example, the Buddha is given as one of the objects, but there can only be the reflection on the qualities of the Buddha for those who have understood the teaching and who understand the mm-hmm. qualities. So those objects, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, cannot be objects of access concentration unless one has heard and studied the teachings to a high degree. And when we talk about those degrees of access concentration or concentration at level of jhana, upachara samadhi and apana samadhi, then Nina's comment or point was at the moment of enlightenment, the concentration when it has Nibbana's object is apana samadhi. So it's the same degree, which is why it is called jhana, but it's different from mundane jhana because the object is different and it's the jhana associated with right understanding of the Eightfold Path, but it's apana samadhi.
Okay.
And we read in the texts about how for some who had attain mundane jhana in the Buddha's time, the mundane jhana is the base for enlightenment. So it means just before enlightenment, they attained one of the four degrees of jhana. And in that case, the concentration in the of the Eightfold Path is equivalent to the same degree immediately before. So that's why it's often in the text that you read talks about mundane jhana and enlightenment closely together, but always different objects.
So can anyone who does not understand the teachings at all have the Buddha as his object? The recollection of the Buddha as object samatha? Impossible. But at any moment, when there is the understanding of any reality, that can be the reminder of the virtues of Buddha. At that moment, citta is calm because of kusala to the enlightenment. At this very moment, if there is awareness, right awareness, with understanding, it cannot stop thinking about the virtues of Buddha, from who that we can have such moment in life. And only this is puttanusati, the recollection of the Buddha's virtues as object of bhavana. Because at that moment, citta is calm, it is kusala. And when it's more and more understanding with the recollection of the virtues of Buddha, it's the samatha bhavana, having the virtues of Buddha as the object. It's not just not knowing or understanding, just look or watch the Buddha image. That is attachment and ignorance. Okusala? Without thinking of the virtues of the Buddha, it cannot be kusala. Because as soon as there is whatever appears, attachment is there. Asava.
I think a lot of people think of jhana as being uninterrupted concentration on a single object. But it's not really like that at all. It's the way the object is being contemplated, whether it's kasina or corpse or Buddha. So it's quite different to the general idea of what samatha is.
And just as Ajahn said, that even now, even though there's not a lot of understanding, there are moments of reflecting on the Buddha's qualities, such as the great understanding, the great compassion, and at those moments of reflecting, not by trying to reflect, but just naturally reflecting, the citta is calm at those moments. So that is samatha, but without it being right understanding of reality at that moment. And in the same way, like now, when we're reflecting on dhammas, like we were talking about seeing an invisible object, it's a concept of seeing or visible object that is the object, and that is calm at that moment. So this is what is meant by dhamma as object. So it's the beginning, just very naturally, not going somewhere and concentrating on Buddha or dhamma or sangha, but by wise considering what the qualities of the Buddha are, or what dhammas are, or the understanding of those who have followed the teachings of the Buddha just in ordinary daily life. So that's why it always comes back to understanding at the very beginning.
So who can attain the degree of upacara samadhi by having the Buddha's virtues as the object? Who?
The Aryan only.
Only.
Only, because only the Aryan can really understand the Buddha's qualities or virtues.
The Four Noble Truths.
The Four Noble Truths, and especially the dhammas as anatta.
So people think that samatha begins by focusing on the object, but really it begins by kusala moment of reflection of the object. So any moment when the virtues of the Buddha come to mind, that is a moment of samatha, if it's kusala.
And you understand what is meant by having Buddha virtues as object for samatha, because of the understanding of who was Buddha.
And we can say it's the same for all the other objects of samatha. It's by understanding, having that object, condition calm at that moment, but not by trying to do something with an idea of self, but just naturally through understanding.
So for those who are interested in bhavana, they don't understand the conditions for having kusala. They just be interested in bhavana. When one asks whether that person is interested in vipassana, they say, yes, very much. See, they don't know anything about vipassana, only wanting to do something which is called vipassana when it's not.
have a question that I learned somebody have extraordinary power. So,
like what, please?
like they can hear a voice that we can hear, and they can see what other things we can see.
Today we don't need such a reality. Just call someone by telephone. Wasting time doing so.
So I think they have a high degree of akusala citta when or they can attain some high
degree of akusala?
Kusala.
Kusala or akusala.
How do you know they have this power?
I heard from friends.
Ask her what we're talking about now. Call her.
When we were in Vietnam, I remember some of our friends and one monk, believe from their strong meditation practice that they have all sorts of extraordinary experiences from strong concentration, and it becomes very disturbing, and so all sorts of people can imagine all sorts of things like this, and strong clinging, thinking it's something special.
Especially when there's no cause for that condition state. How can we believe? Impossible without the right cause.